This is On with Mario Lopez.
What up? It's Mario Lopez. Join me now in studio, the winner of this year's Daytona 500 NASCAR driver, Kurt Busch. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for taking the time to come. So congratulations right off the bat. That was a big win back there. I've been to that race. So much fun. What a party there. But obviously there's serious business going on. What were you thinking when you crossed the finish line?
It's huge. I mean, that type of win is like a championship all in one week. The focus, the intensity, the preparation. I mean, the car that we built for that race, we spent 2 months on it.
Wow.
You know, the pit crew, they're trying to fine tune all the new things. And then the way the race played out, you know, all the preliminary races, everybody's getting sideways and crashing, sliding around. And I just took the tortoise approach. I said, you know what? They're all going to go do their thing early in the race. I'll be that guy at
the end.
Slow and
steady.
And I cannot believe the pattern that our team adopted for that race folded out on perfect for us.
And your car looked like it was being held together by old school tape. Was that literally like duct tape or a special kind of tape?
Yeah, it is a little bit of duct tape, but then we have this material called Bear Bond, and it's really high grip, sticky stuff that holds the sheet metal together. But yeah, we got a couple bruises, a couple scrapes from some of the wrecks that were happening.
I bet.
But we survived enough. And we patched it together for the end.
Yeah, and I see you've been taking the trophy on tour, kind of like the Stanley Cup,
yeah.
Right?
Here's what I heard. I wanted to get replicas made for my sponsors, you know, Monster Energy, Haas Automation, Ford. We just signed on with Ford, right?
Okay.
And so they said, nope, this is Daytona. They said, we only make two a year, and you can't get replicas. I'm like, well, all right, I'm going to throw it in the back of my truck. Here we go. I'm going to take it all around, and I've got it with me today.
There you go.
We had it on a show yesterday in L.A. We're taking it around, just like you said, like the Stanley Cup, showing it off, and then giving it to the sponsors to do their promotional events with it, too.
So you brought it today so we could take a pic.
Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic. That's going to be cool right there. And I know you recently raced in your hometown of Vegas.
Yeah,
so is there such a thing as home field advantage in NASCAR? Do you believe in that?
Not really, but it is that special feeling of going back home. The people are familiar, friends, the family, and all the roads getting in and out of the track, the restaurants, and just the feel of going back home. Yeah, Vegas is my hometown, and it's fun to represent that place.
There's some good athletes that come out of Vegas. People think it's like a bunch of transients you just visit, but yourself, Andre Agassi, Greg Maddux, there's quite a
bunch of young kids like Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper, that's right.
Chris Bryant, Chicago Cub kid. And then there's a couple of young racers coming out of there as well. I don't know. It must be in the water. Something's going on there in
the
Vegas.
Desert out there, huh? That's
maybe
crazy.
If you stay out of the casinos, you end up as an okay athlete.
That's the key. That's the key. Your little brother made some headlines with his post-race scuffle recently. What'd you say to him about that?
He was all up in arms about the whole thing. I mean, it looked like a racing situation where one guy got a little sideways and tapped him, and he ended up spinning. Now, was that for the win? No. I think they're running for third or fourth. And to get all that excited about that type of a spin at the end of the race.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. He has true passion. We can't take that away from him. Everybody wants to win. But when you jump out of your car and you're just throwing punches, I mean, come on, check it up a little bit, pump the brakes, you know, think about what's going on around you before you react that way. I mean, I can say that cause he's my little brother, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, come on, man, get back in your box.
How do you go about picking the numbers? I mean, your car is 41. What was it given to you? Is it generally assigned, or do you decide what it is?
For our race team at Stewart Haas Racing, Tony Stewart, he's half of the team ownership, and his car number when he raced was 14. So with Gene Haas, the other half owner that I race with, he's 41. It's just a mirror image, 14. 41. We're just kind of keeping it simple.
Okay, very cool. And you're in the honeymoon right now. You've been married for like 3 months, right?
Yeah, married in January.
Congratulations.
So it's amazing. Ashley, since the day that I met her, things have slowed down. Things make complete sense. And her heart is so warm and caring. And the best thing about her, she's an athlete too. She plays polo. So she gets it with team building.
Yeah.
The guys on the crew, her horses, the equipment, and the time that it takes. You know, out on the field.
Right. How'd you guys meet?
It was somewhat of a blind date. Her sister introduced us, and I mean, it was just instant chemistry. The sparks were flying right away.
Good for you, man. Good for you. And kids in the future, something you want?
Absolutely. I think they're around the corner. If they want to ride horses, they want to race race cars, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that next chapter in life.
Nice, man. Good for you. And I read Steven Tyler crashed your reception.
Yes.
With a surprise performance.
Yes. It was epic.
That's cool. What did he sing?
He sang everything. We
had like a little mini concert.
Yeah, it was 12 songs.
Whoa.
Wow, that's a full concert.
That's a full-on concert.
Yeah, the wedding planner's going, this is getting ridiculous. I'm like, come on.
Are you kidding me?
Steven Tyler, let him roll all night. It came together through Monster Energy, one of my sponsors. They said, hey, give Larry Rudolph, his agent, a call. And literally, I'm like, there's no way he's going to pick up the phone. You know, this is going to be a wild goose chase. And those guys were so polite, so professional. And Steven Tyler's like, yeah, man, we'll come out and do it. No problem.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so it was a huge bash. And it was really a surprise for our guests and for her parents who put on such a great wedding.
I bet.
They were sweating me the day before. Like, why do you need a second stage? Why do you need what all this planning? Lighting?
Exactly.
And I'm like, you know what? Just simmer down.
Don't question it.
Yeah, I'll take care
exactly.
of the
Nice, man.
It was a huge party. And we danced our first dance to Angel.
Oh, look at that.
So it was great.
Talk about memorable. The wedding guests really got hooked up right there.
That's
a good one to
meet. Yeah, we took everybody's cell phones, so you know, we didn't have any of the issues with copyright and all that.
Right. So, Kurt, this is your 17th season in NASCAR, man, and you're still such a young guy. What goals do you still have on the track?
Yeah, it seems like yesterday things were just starting out, and I won at Bristol, my first ever race, and won the championship early in my career. I feel like I want more, though. The big marquee wins, like getting Daytona, that was huge. I wanted to win my hometown this year at Vegas. Didn't quite get that. I've won at our longest race, the Coca-Cola 600, but I haven't won at one of our cool southern rooted tracks in Darlington. I want that Darlington trophy. So I'm chasing those big trophies.
Yeah.
Want to just pursue it to help young crew members as well. The engineers that are coming up in racing, so much was given to me when I first started by the talent around the crew members. I want to make sure that I'm doing my job to teach these kids as they're coming up on my way out. I mean, hopefully I got 5 more years in it, but still racing hard, racing for the wins, and being competitive. There's no reason to quit.
No reason, but especially competing at such a high level for so long. How old were you when you first learned how to drive?
My dad got me a go-kart at 7, but
were you racing the go-kart races?
No, I just had it on.
They have those, right? Those get intense.
Yeah,
those kids. Go-kart races.
Kids are starting out 5, 6, 7 years old.
It's unbelievable.
And they are gung-ho. For me, I started when I was 16 racing because mom was like, here, go play baseball. You know, go do the little league thing because she didn't like the racing.
Yeah.
And it turned out all right.
Yeah, it did. So, yeah. But like you just, was it something you fell into, your dad's passion, and he sort of guided you that way?
Yeah, he was a local racer, like had his own car in the garage.
Yeah.
And we went to the track on the weekend, and he taught me how to work on the car, taught me how to race it. We watched videotape together when I first started racing.
Yeah.
We watched the big race, NASCAR race on Sunday on TV, and he was showing me different moves guys were making out on the track. And I didn't pursue it as a full passion. It was more of a hobby. And then it just started to snowball into where I am today.
And at what point did you realize that it could be a career?
When I was struggling in college and down to my last few $100, I didn't want to call parents for money.
Yeah.
And I won a big race when I was 19 years old on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And that's the moment. Like, it clicked. I felt it. Like, this is what I want to pursue. This is going to be my life. And literally, I had 3 jobs trying to make all ends meet, and I was traveling everywhere on the West Coast to try to find races.
Wow. And did your brother just follow in your footsteps, or did he have to discover it on his own too?
No, he was right on
path. He was like, this beat's getting a real job. Let's start racing.
I don't think he ever had a real job. Yeah. No, I helped him with finding some certain deals here and there, but he did it all on his own too with racing, winning, and...
Oh, yeah, there's no faking it. You got to, either you can drive or you can't, so yep. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
he did a good job. So I feel like I left some bridges open for him, and boom, he came through too.
And how much, I'm sorry, because I'm fascinated by all this, but because how well do you have to actually know your car? In other words, can the driver just be an excellent driver, or does he really have to know his car in an impeccable way?
That's a long, detailed, good question and tough answer, because the generation before me, they worked on the cars and they did all the work themselves and then drove.
Wow.
My generation, I felt like guys like Jimmy Johnson, Ryan Newman, Kevin Harvick, myself, we know how to work on the cars, but then it starts to turn into more of just the driving and the marketing side and the sponsorship side because of the amount of millions.
You only got so much time too.
Yes. I mean, there's only 24 hours in the day.
Right.
Now these kids that are coming in, they don't know much about the cars at all. They just drive.
Huh.
So it's like a generational shift that you're seeing. And I think the good ones will always still have that car charisma, that understanding of how a sway bar works, how the shocks work. If you've got that, that'll always be in your back pocket.
Got it. Well, I'm looking forward to going with my old man to Fontana.
Come on out.
Man, that's going to be cool. So what can we expect out there?
The track hasn't been repaved in years, and so it chews up the tires.
Is that bad
big
thing?
Time. It's great because if you put on a set of fresh tires, you can go blowing by the guys.
Oh.
And so on restarts, you're going to see cars 3, 4, 5 wide, cars everywhere. And then as the run progresses, it's chewing up the tires so quick. Now you're seeing the drivers that know how to do tire management.
Oh, wow.
But then at the end, you know, it's going to be crazy with restarts, guys putting on fresh tires, and chaos.
Do you pick your crew, or does the team itself sort of, you just kind of leave it to the guys?
Yeah, our management is great at Stewart Haas Racing on finding the right talent for the positions. I might throw recommendations in here or there just because I'm in the garage and I see certain guys.
So those guys are crucial.
But yeah, our crew, it's a full team of 300 people.
Wow.
That put their hand on the race car, build the engine, set it up, and are part of the pit crew as well.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, before we let you, I want to put you on the spot. Quick questions, quick answers.
All right. Quick questions, quick answers.
Yep. Best driving song.
Best driving song? Sammy Hagar, I Can't Drive 55.
Yes. Traffic law you break the most.
Traffic what?
Traffic law you break the most.
Oh, stop signs.
That's what I always say. I said stop, not park.
Yeah. Right? I'll stop twice next time. Exactly.
Celebrity crush growing up.
Sandra Bullock.
We knew that. He answered that one quick.
Didn't check up.
What was your first car?
First car, 1964 Volkswagen Bug. It had 40 horsepower.
40? Yeah. That's like a lawnmower. Time travel destination. Like if you can go to any era and hang out for a week.
Probably the Roaring 20s. And like Great Gatsby type theme up in New York. Yeah. Hamptons, all that.
Yeah, they knew how to party then. Last one, who plays you in your life story?
Matt Damon. He'd do good at it. He's a good guy for all different types of characters.
There you go. That's good casting right there. I like that. Well, listen, you can watch Kurt on Sunday in the Auto Club 400. Follow him on Twitter at Kurt Busch. Thanks for stopping by, man.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it.
On with Mario Lopez.